All right, we're back. Hey, to the Soul 70 Show. Hey, with Q-Lynn Green.
Where did you find that one from? That sounds like a sex operator.
Well,
what the hell was that?
I
thought you knew which one. This is how I know you did say on one show you didn't like Morse Day, didn't you? That's why you didn't know.
You know what, Q-Lynn? You know what, Q-Lynn? You know, I'm not going to take this, you know, I'm not going to take this abuse. I am not taking this abuse. You already disinvited me from the main table.
You don't know 779311. That is the greatest song ever.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, the next time we...
That was good. I don't know what that was, but...
Okay, all right. We can handle this off air before the shows, you know, you understand?
Listen, we already know you're like Prince. I know that's why you did that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Anything Prince related.
Uh-huh.
That's I don't know where you got that song from.
Where are you going to invite me back? Am I getting...
Okay,
you know, I just want to say hello. I just want to say hello to your great host, Miss TLC. All right?
All right. I know you better find the right song before the show's over with, because I don't know what that was.
Well,
I'm about to pull up the... How long it was? You
need to
tell me how long.
Yeah, you. Well, you
did.
Okay.
That version. That
version that he played is Grace.
Thank you, so, TLC. Thank you.
It was the B side of 7779311 with just Vanity and Mars talking.
I couldn't hear that good because it was cutting out.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard it. You heard exactly what she said. You heard what she said. Thank you, TLC. Thank you, dear. At least I have one
phone operated voice. I was like, what is this?
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
Well, yeah, they were real good at getting, like, Vanity on the songs just to, like,
talk. Yeah.
TLC, thank you so much. At least I have one friend.
Don't fail him or, now.
At least I have
TLC,
one.
We sit here and discuss this.
I have one friend on this show.
Going on. Thank you.
TLC, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, because
I thought
I had other friends, but my friend, EB the Weasel,
Oh, man, he called you all kind of names and stuff.
That's
right.
He already
got the Family Feud on the air right now. So he's turning on
How's that Kool-Aid over there, Will?
Yeah, okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Hey, guess what, TLC? Hey, TLC, guess what? They talking about beans and hot dogs and a spork. S-P-O-R-K. Can you believe that? Plasticware. Why they enjoy fine channel, filet mignon, and fine wine. Okay, I'm not thinking about either one of you guys.
Ms. TLC, before we move on to the last two segments, before we end the show, let's address this. Ms. TLC, what do you make of somebody that says Prince's vocals are trash?
Basically, I didn't say that. I did not say that. No, that's not what I said. I didn't say that.
No, that is fair.
That's not what I said.
That is what...
That's
you
not what I said.
Heard
no, no,
all the you said
no, no. Let me tell you exactly. Let me tell you what exactly what I said.
You know you said that.
And let me tell you exactly what I said.
Prince couldn't sing. Whitney, he was on the show. Did he say that? Yeah.
Let me tell you exactly what I said.
Didn't he say that?
That's right. Let me tell you exactly what I'm saying. I said that Michael Jackson was first string and Prince rode the bench. That's what I said.
You see how disrespectful and blasphemous it is? Wow. All Prince, he's been waiting all show to say that.
See, and I will say
that. Appreciation Day. That's what he does.
I
said he was second string. That's exactly what I said.
That's so disrespectful in every sense of the word. Go ahead, Ms. TLC.
I will say this. I adore Michael as well, and Michael's voice honestly could, you know, melt anybody's, you know, heart.
Thank you.
And it was truly like a lullaby, his voice. You know, that really was his instrument. But the thing with Prince is that he was able to adapt to so many different styles of music. And, you know, like there are little things that, you know, weren't released to the public that, you know, casual fans may not be aware of, but like... He did music for, like, a soundtrack, I'll Do Anything, and it ended up not coming out. But it was like these little lilty kind of Broadway tunes, and he sounded perfect. Like when he needed to sing, you know, in that range, and he knew how to adjust his voice in a certain way that he could do like classical, Broadway, folk, you know, put like an operatic spin on something. You know, he had like a lot of different dimensions and he could touch on kind of any genre. He did this hard, you know, industrial kind of club music, you know, trying to do like a little Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails things at some point. You know, he could go really anywhere with it and adapt. And really, if anybody comes to me to say, yeah, but, you know, as far as strength and training and range and all that, like, he really wasn't a great vocalist, because there are a lot of people that say that, I immediately tell them, I mean, go listen to Damn You, because there he's just kind of stripping it down and just showing you, you know, the strength from the highs to the lows and the husky, you know, little sexiness and the raspiness, but he could have, you know, such a strong falsetto. And he never lost it. That's like the real great thing about it is, you know, a lot of these singers that perform so often live, you know, they don't train or take care of their voice properly. So you always, you know, you feel bad for them, but you hear them, you know, even in their 40s and 50s, you know, they just kind of lose it and they can't, you know, sing the way they used to. But he was, I mean, if you hear the live recordings of, you know, his final shows, it was still incredible. I mean, his voice just sounded amazing. You know, he still had it.
Exactly. Will, are you receiving this information that she just said? Are you receiving it?
Yes. I respect the guest.
I respect
the guest. Okay, and I told you, I said I did say, Whitney, I'm gonna talk to Whitney because I'm not talking to Evie. Whitney, didn't I say I like some of Prince's songs? I did say that.
That is true. You did.
Right.
That.
Okay. And I'm still.
Yes, I did. Gloss over it. Here, you just wanted to jump in about getting security to escort you out of here.
No. As a matter of fact, when doves cry is one of my favorite songs. How about that?
Sure it is. Of course, a casual Prince fan would say that. What else you like, Purple Rain?
I do.
Yes, because you're a casual Prince fan. What else you gonna say? Oh, like Adore. What else? Casual, random, typical, predictable Prince fan song you got.
I'm just saying, I'm not showing up in a tuxedo. I am not showing up in a tuxedo and sit at the kiddies table. I am not sitting at a kiddies table with a tuxedo on. I'm not doing it.
Casual Prince fan. You're such a hater. You're so disrespectful. I know you try to come on the show and act like, and try to erase all of, like, you try to give us a minute back memory card on us or something, like we done forgot what you done said since last year. You said this on this show that he couldn't sing. And then you try to compare Michael Jackson. Like, his vocals was popping in the 2000s.
That's right.
Prince's voice, they never go out. Okay?
Michael's vocals never went out either. Come on.
Oh. I already told you, after the 80s and 90s, Michael's voice was shot. Even Dansby said this on the show. That
no.
He had to get it doctored in the recording studio because it was what it used to be. So. Don't get me started, because I told you after the needles, was involved, his voice went out. Okay, don't get me started. You already got me hot now talking about this because it made me think about the past show. After the needles came, he was done, and we gonna move on.
Oh, see, that's blasphemy. That is blasphemy.
Ain't nothing blasphemy. These are facts that you know. Okay, go ahead, EB, because I'm getting hot.
TLC and Whitney, real quick. I don't know if Whitney was here, but we had vocal coach Dansby Sturdivant on the show, and we were asking him to rate some of our favorites. And yeah, professional, because you know I was scared to ask, because you know my favorite is Mary, and I was scared to ask. And once he gave Mary a 9, and he gave Prince a 9, I was like, oh, this man is—he's the real deal. Like, you know what you're talking about. He knows real vocals.
This man, Coach Nancy Wilson, and Nancy Wilson, the jazz legendary.
That's right. Great.
Recommended him to Tina Marie. This is your friend, Will, that said this.
He is my friend. He
knows that you was on, and you try to act like you weren't on them shows. You was on both of these shows when he said, and you the one that asked him about Prince versus Michael Jackson on the first one that he came on. And he said 9 out of 10. Now you're trying to rebuke it. You need to receive what he's saying, what we're saying on this show.
Not true. I had to leave early, and I think you and EB, I think you and EB are taking things out of context. I really do.
And we misinterpreted it. How are we misinterpreted 9 out of 10? What you talking about, Will? How are we misinterpreting that? You know what I'm saying? You get me elevated with my blood pressure. I'm trying to bring it down. Go ahead, EB. Finish your talk. I take a sip of water.
Yeah, EB.
Sam is a professional, and he came on here.
Professional.
And I was skeptical at first. I'm not going to lie. I was like, what does this dude really know? But once he gave Mary that 9, I was like, oh, he know what he's talking about. So I have to take his word. If he say Prince is a 9, then Prince is a 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke down his levels with the vocal range. Will.
Yeah, he gave explanation why he was raising
people. Yeah, all right. You see what I'm saying?
Fans love, but if you go back and listen to like Three Chains of Gold, which was his little Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, operatic song, whatever, and you see, you know, how he plays with his voice there, and then you pull up something like I said, like a Damn You, and then you flip it again and you go to like a song from the Vault album, Five Women, which really gets into like his blues genius, because that's another thing like we didn't even touch on, but like his blues.
Oh, we'll get to that.
I mean, his blues was just, like, so strong, and the way he would, you know, get into, like, The Ride and Electric Man and, like, all that kind of stuff, you know, if I had a harem, like, he knew how to really ride the beat on, like, a blues level. And so when you see, like, that huskiness and that depth in his voice, and then you flip it and you say, you know, but this was a man with, like, a super strong falsetto, you know, and you drop with some, like, Adore, it's like, wow, like, most people don't have that kind of diverse range. You know, and they're strong in all of it.
You hitting on everything. I know the synergy is right between. I know this is a Prince head connection. This is Fine China Conversations. Because you hitting on the segment we about to get to, the albums and lyrics. But first, we're gonna do the artists influenced by Prince, and then we don't end it with the albums and lyrics. The first one, artists influenced by Prince. I'm just gonna name the ones that I feel are authentically from the root tree of Prince. Now, there's a lot of people influenced by Prince. You know, they say they are, you know, after he passed that I didn't know even liked him like that. Like, you know, Usher, you know, I always thought he was, you know, trying to emulate Michael Jackson, so I never caught the Prince. You know, he might try to hit a little couple high notes, but it wasn't there. Usher, he's definitely not. People that claim they influenced by Prince, like Usher and The Weeknd, who else? Miguel, all those can go in the trash can because you ain't on that level. I will say, this shade magnet feet coming out now. This is all shade right here. But I'm gonna try to clean it up, but that's how I am. I'm just trying to give the authenticity. The real ones, I'll say Raphael Sadiq, I'll say D'Angelo, definitely D'Angelo.
Yeah, D'Angelo is like his true one. Yeah.
I could go all day on just along the fact that he plays multiple instruments, that he did all of it in Brown Sugar. But
yeah, I mean, the way he broke down Sometimes It Snows in April on Jimmy Fallon, I mean, afterwards.
It was accurate of the feeling of that song. He captured it in that.
Yeah.
He did everything he's supposed to do in that. But Black Messiah, the fact that Prince personally gave he gave D'Angelo, because D'Angelo had it, the black one. He had personally gave D'Angelo his guitar, one of his guitars for that album. If you listen to the first three songs, maybe the four, I think it's four, we get to Ain't That Easy, you get to, excuse me, A Thousand Deaths, you get to The Charade, even though it was influenced by Sheila E. song, but still Prince-esque. Those songs right there, when you get to Pino Palladino, my cat, my guy, the bass god, and then you hear Jesse Johnson on that guitar right there playing the licks. When you get to that, that's all Prince-esque, and everything in that embodied his influences that Prince had that he incorporated into Lotus Flower, into 3121, all those different elements of blues and R&B, funk rock, but definitely funk rock driven, because that's the way Prince was on going into Lotus Flower. If you listen,
yeah, I mean, they influenced each other back and forth, because like Voodoo, obviously, we know is like one of the greatest albums of all time, and then Prince. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince always could do that if he wanted to, but it wasn't until after the Voodoo movement that Prince was like, let me just slow things down, get back into some little jazz fusion, get into the instrumentation, and he came back out with, like, Rainbow Children. So he was, like, trying to show people, like, I still could get, like, real, you know, stripped down and soulful with y'all, too. You know, so they definitely played that game with each other. I mean, they definitely Prince lives within Mr. Michael Archer. Like, that's a game.
I'm trying to pull up this, since you brought up, I think it was Musicology, let me pull this up. It says, that when he came back, it says, Musicology Live 2004 was a 2004 by Prince in North America to promote his Musicology album. It says the tour began in March 27th in 04 in Reno, Nevada, and concluded in San Jose in September 11th. It says it was a commercial success, earning $87.4 million. From 96 shows in 69 cities across North America and selling more than 1.4 million tickets. It says Prince said one of the goals of the tour is to bring back music and live musicians. This is from Mike Coates, because he's a music director on that tour show. Mm-hmm. He wrote this whole thing. And so, yeah. And when you listen to that show, oh my God, it's whole crazy. He has the whole set list. I think he did some of that was like, range from like When the Saints Go Marching In, Down by the Riverside, Satisfied, Girls and Boys, Purple Rain, Wonderful World, excuse me, Gotta Break Heart Again, Love is a Losing Game, then he like switched to Chaka Khan, Sweet Thing, and then Musicology, and then he vamped out with the band, and then it says he played that funky music, Controversy, Crazy, Nothing Compares to You, Take Me With You, Seven, Come Together, and if I Was Your Girlfriend. Like, this whole list of songs he did on that tour. Like, so over, how many songs is this? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Over, like, 15 songs he did in one concert.
He did, like, way more than that, even, because...
Yeah,
like,
but that's where the list stopped at, is that, but...
Yeah,
man,
but that's the
songs.
Thing that I loved about him, too. Like, that's why I would go to so many shows, even, like, on one tour, you'd go to several shows, because he was one of those people that you knew... You didn't want to miss out on if he did like a certain, you know, rare song one night and then like flipped it and did a totally different, you know, set list the other night or whatever. And it's true, like on that Musicology tour, it's like one night you would hear like The One from like the New Power of Soul album, and then like another night he always did like some portion of like a door like in the piano section in that tour. Like he had this little breakdown acoustic section, but then there was like another show where he actually did the full on a door. You know, like towards the end, and I was just like losing it with that. But there was always like a moment where he would drop like a little something that you'd be like, oh wow, you know, I'm glad that I was here. You know, he would always play upon like things from his catalog that he would bring back. You know, and getting back into like discussing like his albums and lyrics and things like that, I mean, that's what was so special about him too, is that his catalog was just so deep. And that's not even taking into consideration all the stuff that was bootlegs and that people, you know, circulated for years, like live rehearsals and other unreleased, like rarer tracks. Just his stuff that was like truly released, you know, through major channels. I mean, there was still so much there, which, you know, he used to joke about that all the time. Like, you see all the videos and stuff of his shows, and he'd just be like, yeah, I could go all night. Like, I got hits. I could play, you know, for hours if you want me to. Like, he would always play into that and be, you know, cheeky with the crowd about it, because he knew. I mean, it was like no joke. Like, you know, and some people used to get annoyed about that. I had, you know, some friends who really do love him dearly, but they would go to his shows, like, later on in life, and they're like, oh, it's annoying. He only plays, like, 30 seconds of each song and goes into something else. And it's like, because his catalog's too deep, and he's trying to give people, you know, what they want. So, yeah, he'll touch on, like, a little bit of, you know, Kiss or When Doves Cry, this and that. But he wants to get to other stuff, too. And really, his true passion and his love was to do something like, you know, what we were listening to before, even like the Joy and Repetition. He'd rather take a song like that and really flip the album version on its head and perform like a jammed out, you know, vamped version for like 20 minutes, you know, which if you really love music, then you're like super psyched about that, which is what I've just been spoiled to love that. Now, even when I go to anybody's concert, it's like, I don't want to hear you represent just album versions of stuff. Like, I want to hear some more experimental, deeper versions of everything, you know? I mean, EB and I would just that
like the last of the Dime Breed that does that.
Yeah, like EB and I would just at a PJ Morton show. And you know, like if you could take like a track and just play it for like 20 minutes, which he was doing like towards the end of the show, it's like, I love that, you know. That's what I prefer.
Oh, shoot. Real quick, we're going to do these shout outs real quick. I got them listed right here. People listening to the show right now, I keep forgetting to do it. Practice the last break. Hold on a second. Let me pull it back up. Give me a second. I know this is live. I forgot. I just lost it. Where'd it go? Hold on. Give me like 2 seconds. I'm about to read it because it's a whole list of people. Okay, here it goes. Okay, shout outs to Bobby, Carolyn. I think it's Carolyn. Joe and Debbie out of Maryland. It says Tone, Emma, and Herb. Man, you got to be over 50 with that name. But I love it. Shout out to Herb out in Richmond, Virginia. Appreciate you out here in the streets, man. Thank you for listening to the show. Hopefully, we are entertaining you and not, making you want to, throw holy water at your, cell phone or your computer the way we're talking on here. But these are people out in Richmond, Virginia. Shout out to y'all. And shout out to the Braxton Back crew. We got Adrian Braxton, Catrice listening in. Shout out to y'all. Catrice keep hiding to get on the show because she wants to do this Mary J. versus Beyonce battle. Last time she was on her, if you want to get into it about Mary J. versus Beyonce, it's going to be a real debate. Who, they're going to debate who does the better bop, Mary J. or Beyonce. I think she was side with Mary. I think, no, she was side with Beyonce. That's what it was. And you was side with Mary J. But
yeah, the person that originated it. But shout out to me.
Mary be on the upbeat a lot, though.
Hey, when you're the queen, that's what you do.
The song got a downbeat, and she be on the upbeat. I'm like, and everybody
from uptown, that's what they do.
Exactly.
I'm stupid. I'm going to go ahead. Shout outs to also LaVette, Taisha. I think her last name is Green. Shout out to Green, but yours has got an E at the end. I was about to say we family, but yours got an E at the end. Mine's just green like the color. But Taisha and Gregory Thomas out of California, shout out to y'all listening in live and hitting us up, telling that you're tuning in the show. Also, Angela, shout out to Angela. She follows me on Facebook. You know who she is. I can't say her last name. Angela C. I know her last name. So she, shout out to her. She's all the way out, I think, in Arkansas, somewhere in there. Sorry if I got your city wrong, but I think it's out in Arkansas. No, it's Memphis. I think it's Memphis. I don't remember. But shout out to Angela C, that was listening live, and shout out to Adrian. Is that show coming on tonight, Will?
Oh yeah, they'll be on Ladies Night is tonight at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they be giving away, y'all gotta listen in, cause they be giving away baskets with, sexual toys and,
See.
KY gel and stuff like that.
They are wild. And you know, also Q-Lan, hey, you know what we missed? We need to let our listening audience around the globe and Miss TLC and Whitney and everybody know that we are now media partners with Dynasty Television and the Urban Broadcast Association of America.
Yes.
And together we are over 14 million strong.
Okay.
Yes. And then keep beginning to ask you because you answered my question last week. You need to ask this fine broadcasting company, can I get 5 MFs and F words? If I could get that, that's all I'm asking. If I could get,
Let me answer that for you now.
Television people say they get I forgot what show it was.
No.
They said they get at least a minimum of cuss words, vulgar words. I want them. I just want 5.
I tell you what. Hey, give me 2 seconds. Let me check with the CEO. No.
No, you just saying that because I didn't invite you to the fine china of this conversation.
You got that right, sister. You got that right. You and EB both.
You know what? We're gonna finish this up. He said we got an extra 15 minutes because I want to play this game. We like to call What Is Wrong With You with Miss TLC before she leaves. I know we soaking up all her time, but we have to play this game. It's gonna, I don't want no insubordination either. But we're gonna, before we go to break, I don't want insubordination. I just want to get this clean through. I'm just saying that now before we go to break. I just want a clean run of this game. I don't want no insubordination going on.
Okay.
No chiming in.
Okay, no chiming in.
Dictatorship. I'm just trying to explain the rules of the game.
Okay, I'm not chiming in.
Related to her. I'm just explaining it to y'all too, because y'all like being insubordinate and just interjecting with falsehood of the premise of this game.
That's right.
I'm very clear on what it is, and I'm just trying to make clear to my engineer and to my lovely co-host.
I've already vetted.
That was a yes or no question. I don't know what the question in it. Go ahead, Evie.
So I know her musical taste, so I know she's gonna win the game. Like I don't have to say nothing.
Listen, you already trying to. One of the questions I already feel like is gonna go your way because I feel like you've already trying to ruin.
No, we haven't discussed it,
her musical taste.
We
already. I feel like you already told her to look. You know what, we're going to finish up with the artist influence. We already said the artist influence by Prince. I think it's clear on that. The last one is his albums and lyrics. We're going to finish this up and we're going to go to break. And then we're going to come back and do the game and end the show. That's how we're going to do it. And show albums and lyrics. Oh, go ahead.
Before we get to that, I'm just going to add one person to the people he's influenced. I got to give a shout out to Liv Warfield.
I forgot. Yeah.
I've been following Liv since 2006. I moved to D.C. and I remember the first time I saw her was at the Carter Baron in D.C. Like my first concert in D.C. and it was Liv Warfield. And I've been following her. And then when she released The Unexpected, it was just like, wow, still one of my favorite
albums. She's singing in the background.
Album, 2014.
I love her.
Yeah. So shout out to Liv Warfield. Like he did that. They did that.
Damn, you made me think of, I'm so stupid. Janelle Monáe, Leanne LaHavis.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Janelle first. Yeah,
I forgot all these people. Yeah. Mono Neon, that's the last one of the musicians that he worked with and that he did some great music with. He just released on one of his channels. I think it's Bandcamp and then it was something else he released it on. I'm not sure if it's on all digital outlets, but it's funky. But Mono Neon is the illest ball right now in the game, killing it. This cat can play anything. He literally can play anything. He just mimics voices, talks, and people that be talking randomly in videos. He can do that. I'm like, dude,
takes any viral video or whatever, just converts it into like a bass track.
And then he's a part of so many different bands. I'm going to get him on the show. I've been trying to get in contact with him because he's part of, just recently, Pete Rock started a band. Producer extraordinaire. He's part of his band. We got to get Daruk Jones on here as well. And what's his name? Marcus Macchiato. I think that's his last name. I can't think. He's a great guitarist. But Mono Neon is illest because he's like expanding his range for playing the guitar too. So not just the bass, but the guitar. He's ranging out on that. And he just released a song. He just did Morse Days Chocolate. He just did a compilation with bass and guitar and some other player. It was dope. It's online. But yeah, those are his, those people influenced by him as well. I think Ezron Sponsor definitely was one of the ones that he loved. And then Leanne LaHavis, her music is crazy good. But yeah, we gotta keep going before we run out of time because we only got 17 minutes left. And so we're gonna do the albums and lyrics. I don't want to say pick a favorite album. I just want to discuss the most, musicality-wise, I feel like where he's grown at. Because I don't like picking favorite albums. Even though I can name a few of them, like I'll name Sign of the Times, 1999, The Parade, 3121. It's mostly his newer albums, like going into early 2000s and the recent ones that he dropped, that's my favorites because he was like, he was so progressive lyrically and musically, and he was still on that Jimi Hendrix, Sly Stone wave a whole lot. And so that's why I feel like, and then I always said, I hate talking about it when I hate when people just harp on the 80s part of him because his new stuff was just as good. Like, it's definitely, I would put most of his recent work up against any of his 90s stuff after the Love Symbol album. Absolutely. I would challenge everybody on that because 31, when you get past 31, 21, are you kidding me?
I think there's incredible stuff, you know, in every era. Like, there's gems in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be something that you can find.
I remember it was a moment. The last Fonchon conversation I had was Marsha Ambrosia. And when I tell you, we spent at least 30 minutes talking about Prince's 3121 album. And she told
I love
me her
3121
favorite,
so much.
Yes. And she said her favorite song was The Dance.
That's my favorite.
She said it's such a moment for her musically because she said she tried to create everything from that vibe of that song because she said her favorite part, which is my favorite part, I think it's the Leo thing we connected on because she said it was the bridge. But like, are you just
oh, absolutely.
Gonna stand there?
Are you really just going to stand there and act like you don't want this? Amazing.
And then claps?
Yep.
Oh my God, we were just sitting there, like we was just harping on that. And then I was telling her, you know, people harp on the 80s, but that 2000 era, mid-2000, late-2000
era. Yeah, because that back-to-back, I tell everybody, Musicology in 2004 and 3121 in 2006 are like counterparts of each other, that those two albums really encompass everything that Prince was. Like, it touches on everything. There's some great R&B, soul, pop, some pure music, but then, like, 3121 has a lot of that, like, experimental kind of sound with the electronics and the Camille voice and that kind of stuff as well. And then, like, the sex, you know, getting into the whole incense and candles and the dance and all that. But then it has his religious, you know, points as well, with, like, Get on the Boat and The Word and Beautiful Loved and Blessed, so... Yeah, I mean, those two albums, when you put them together, I mean, there's just, like, serious gems there.
Yeah, just to quote her, I'm pulling from my website, it says, she said, I was saying people, casual fans like the 80s Prince, but his new stuff is just as good, and people sleep on it. And she said, it's like the ones who aren't awake, if you will, sleep, because it's more for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so selfish, like, I don't even want to put you on, because if you don't get it...
Right, I always thought
that
way
about music. Like,
I always felt that way about the dance,
right.
I didn't want people to know about it. But then once he transitions and everybody started connecting more online, like, I found a lot of other people who were up on it. And they'd be like, oh, the dance is like the epitome of passion. I'm like, hello, that song is like, oof.
Yeah. And then Lotus Flower, that's one of my top favorites because it's a three-part disc because I have it in front of me right now. Still have it. It had this woman on it, Bria Valente, or how do you pronounce that? She was on
one side
of it, and then the second disc was called Lotus Flower, and then the third one was called MPDL Sound, and I have all three discs. I didn't really listen to the first, it was the second one, because he had so much great stuff on there, and then it was very political driven. It was very capitalistic, talking about capitalism and how bad it is. And really, if you get to it, I'm going to get to a deep cut on there. If you listen to the song Money, it's a song on this album called Money. It's way before Childish Gambino's, what's it called, This Is America. Like, he was talking about everything. Like, he was just telling people to dance. That's all he was saying throughout the song because all this crazy stuff is happening. And so we just dance together. And that's pretty much that Childish Gambino song, I think, was saying. But I was like, Prince was saying that way before then. And then he was so influenced by Dick Gregory when he did the State of the Black Union.
Mm-hmm.
He was so influenced. He said he showed every Caucasian person that. And it was like, I always thought that was crazy. I think he did an interview with Tavis Miles. He said, look, you need to watch this. And because Dick Gregory started talking about chemtrails, and he actually has a song on this album called "There." I think it's Dreamer.
Yeah,
where he's talking about chemtrails. He's like, remember? Oh, I don't want to get that deep into it, but that's one of my favorites. What's the album that sticks out to y'all? Whoever wants to go, Whitney, EB, or Miss TLC, whoever wants to go before we go to break.
Well, I could just quickly say, you know, what I just said that, like, yeah, that 2004, 2006, you know. Double Whammy, I think, was incredible, but, you know, because I know that my actual favorite album is, you know, somewhat cliche, but it is the truth, is 1999, because I just feel like that's the album that really turned the entire industry on its head, because people were just blown away by the sonic boom of that album, and it really changed, like, everything for, you know, the synthesis of pop music going forward. But, yeah, I mean, what you have mentioned before, like, my top three is always 1999, Parade, and Sign of the Times, and I think that those three albums alone are just,
you know, enough to blow any other artist ever, like, out of the water. But, you know, yeah. I got appreciation for the latest stuff, too, because I do love myself, you know, my musicology and my 3121.
Oh, yes, 3121. I can harp on that all day. Tamar, shout out to Tamar Davis, man. Hold it down the vocal section on that album.
She kills it. That's my girl. Like, in real life, that is my girl.
When we come back from break, we are going to play the What's Wrong With You game to end the show with Miss DLC, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I'm not disappointed. But y'all get into this 3121 joint. This is my favorite song off that album.
One next. DJ, turn it up. Let's go. This is local, right? 21, 21. Come on. River gates, knock on the door. Put your clothes in the pile on the floor. Take your pick from the Japanese robes and sandals. Drink champagne from a glass with chocolate handles. Don't you wanna come? 3121, gonna be so much fun. 3121, that's what a party be. 3121, you can come if you want to, but you can never leave. Look over there, look over there. There's another turn on. Butterflies flare, they're gonna be awake all night long.
All night long.
Dancing in your belly like a ballerina. In spite of your efforts to calm them down. Oh, don't you wanna come? 3121, gonna be so much fun. 3121, that's where the party be. 3121, you can come if you want to, but you can never leave. Where's the party, y'all? It's going down, people.
Walk the water, baby.
We gon' party like it ain't gon' be another one. Futuristic fantasy. This is where the party people be. Yeah. This is where the party be. 3121. This is where the party be. 3121.
Breakdown.
If you want to, but y'all can't never leave. It's going down, y'all.
That's
like
right.
The wall of Berlin, 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 Berlin.
Going down, y'all. Hey, welcome back to Studio W The Buzz and your Global Radio Network.
Yes. Ain't that a good one right there? You need to add that to your playlist, too.
Okay. I love that you played that and picked that because,
you mentioned Roger Chapman before, and there's live versions of Prince, like later on when he had his little Vegas residency, where he played that into More Bounce Than an Ounce, and he did like a little mashup of that.
Because he did that that song is crazy good. Will, you need to add that to your playlist. Shout out to Michael B holding down the drum section.
Yeah, okay.
And, and guess what? He had Maceo Park. Guess what? That's one of James Brown's horn players right there, playing on the horns right there. What you know about that, Will?
I know. Maceo is one of my favorite, musicians.
Yes, and guess what? He was on 31. Well, he's on the whole album, but this song he was definitely on.
Okay, great. All right. I want to say welcome back. This is Soul Savvy, the show with EB and Q Lynn Green and special guest host Whitney and special guest Miss TLC. And Miss TLC, I just want to say something. When you play this, What's Wrong With You game, I just want you to know the game is rigged. Just like the election, just like the presidential election is rigged. I'm just telling you up front, it's rigged.
Happening with this game no more, and he's just gonna go ahead and do it anyway. First off, before we even get there, like you were saying with the blues, the elements, I feel like 31. Before we even get to the game, I'm just going to bypass Will. I'm just going to ignore everything he just said. But
it's rigged.
31-21 album encompasses everything Prince was musically when it came to him, the versatility of him, getting into different genres. Like, Lolita, the next song it's like a whole different feel. It's like a 50s rock, like, you know, like you at a diner or something, like you on Happy Days or something. You picture that in your mind when you hear Lolita, and then Te Amo Corazon is, a very, you know, Latin vibe, and then you get into the blues with Satisfied on the album. That's the illest one out of there. And then Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. That's definitely my top three from that album is 31-21, Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed, and The Dance. Those are my top three. But I'll listen to the whole album straight. But them three right there get on repeat about at least 7 times while I'm in the car. Because I turn it all the way up. EB's favorite phrase, turn this up, I turn it all the way up in the car.
Turn this up.
Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. Tamar's vocals, oh my god. And yeah, they were, the harmonies on there, you can't debate nothing with his vocals. Just listen to Beautiful, Love, and Bless and hear those harmonies and hear his range, that low register, and he was killing it. That's one of my favorite songs. Shout out to Kill. Yeah, get him on the
Tamar.
Entire generation.
Yeah, Tamar is so incredible. And Tamar is so incredible. And she's a friend of mine, and I had told EB that she does a lot of live shows as well. She was like in Motown the Musical at one point, but she does all these shows where she has to embody these legendary artists. And she did this show in New Brunswick last year that she was Sarah Vaughan, and it was incredible. I mean, her renditions of like Sarah's catalog, it was just amazing. That I told her, you know, I want her to release an album of Sarah's standards because it was just amazing. Her voice, in person, is a million times even better than her stuff on the album.
And she was on tour with New Power Generation. I think they went overseas. They was like Australia and them with Mono Neon. He was added on there. I think Audrey Simon and I think Kip. They did him. Both of them duetted Kip Blackshire. He's a keyboard player and he does vocals too. They did that song together. Man, killed it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's real good. But he does his own thing to it, but his voice fits that song perfectly. And they killed it. He did Tyler Perry shows too. I think that's the only Tyler Perry, plays I liked was when she was in them. I think it was like two of them I saw she was in.
Yeah, she was in two of them.
He killed
them. Yep.
I think she did they were doing like some kind of old school, mashup at the end of the play or something. And she was doing, a lot of, I think she did Chaka Khan or something. I forgot what it was. But she kind of looks like Shell Pepsi Riley, because I thought that's who that was. I was like, oh, no, that's Tamar Davis. But she looks like Shell Pepsi Riley, and they do plays too, but that's random. But we'll get to the game before we go. What's Wrong With You game? I'm going to give you the rules. I know the interest, they don't listen to me on this show, so the insubordination is going to continue. I'm going to explain the rules. The rules are, it's about an either-or game. Between artists and singers is basically you picking the music, the replay value of their music catalog, replay value of music catalog. It is about vocal comparisons, you know, who wore the best dress in a performance, who did all that, live performance. It ain't about none of that. It's about replay value of their music catalog. And so, we're going to start with Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Marvin Gaye. I mean, Teddy, you know, he's incredible too, but catalog-wise.
Marvin Gaye, you talking right. That was a bonus. Either way, you could have got a point. And then the second, we get to the second one. Okay, the OJs or the Whispers?
I mean, that's tough, but I would go with the OJs.
There you go. You're talking right. Like I said, that's another trick question. Bonus point. If you would have picked either or, you would have got it right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Okay, next one. Prince or Rick James? I already know.
That one I would say Prince. But don't get me wrong. Okay. I mean, I love Rick James, but it's Prince. Going back to diversity, Prince has, and I don't know, like, if people follow Anil Dash, but he and I, one day, like, a while ago, had done this, like, game with people where if they didn't like Prince or if they weren't familiar with his catalog, they could say another artist that they loved from any genre, any time period, and we could give them a song that Prince created that was similar to that because he's done, like, every style, you know. So that's what it is. It's really the diversity. Well, you know, even if I wasn't, like, a Prince enthusiast, it's more about just, like, the diversity of his catalog.
Yes, that's all it is. And you listen, you get bonus points just for that, for saying that, because that's usually an E4 that don't matter, but you get triple bonus points for that because you hit it right on the head. See, we on the same, the synergy is right. I feel like it's going to get messed up, though, when we get a couple ones further down. But right now, what you said is my point.
Because, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, Fire and Desire alone... like, have me, you know, fainting on the floor. I mean, Rick James is incredible. I mean, Tina, like, you know, holds space in my heart. You know, I'm so glad that I got to see her several times live and all that. But, like, yeah, it's just about the diversity of the catalog.
It's
that Prince is just...
You hit my... That's my main point with why I picked that in the category. I mean, in this game, for that point. And you get triple points for that. You're the first person on the show to say that. That's why I know you champion Prince Army. Man... Okay, now we're getting a complete switch right now into the show. This is where it changes up. Now these aren't either or. This isn't, you say whatever you want to. It's very direct, answers needed. And, these are definitely, now I've added different rules. Like I said, I make up the rules as I go. And so, one of the rules I just made up is you gotta get at least, I was gonna say three, but you gotta get at least two right. You gotta get at least two. That's talking right. If not, then, you know, that's how I'm going to determine. Okay, we're going to get started. Okay, this is specific with Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Oh, I mean, that's like a given. It's Off the Wall. Anybody can tell me.
Right.
People can tell me Thriller, and they can fight with me that it's like, but Thriller, you know, gets a bad rap because it was so mainstream popular, but it still is like a perfect album, and I'm like, no, Off the Wall, like, I'm more into the raw feeling of something, like, I think it might have been Questlove, or somebody, like, once said, you know, how the album before the album that blew up is the one that, like, they were working on it still, and it was kind of there, like, Off the Wall before Thriller and 1999 before Purple Rain, but I'm like, yeah, I like it when it's rawer, when it's, like, not quite perfect polished pop yet. Like, I prefer 1999 and Off the Wall over Thriller and Purple Rain, even though I know that Thriller and Purple Rain are incredible. It's just that, you know, I prefer.
Like, on this show, you ain't have to go no further once you said Off the Wall, because
Off the Wall is like, I listen to Off the Wall at least once a week. You know, Thriller, there's like tracks that pull off it.
Makes that album, and then the great songwriting from Brother from Heatwave.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Like, like on Thriller, my actual favorite track on Thriller is what a lot of people think is like their least favorite track, which is shocking to me. I don't get why people don't get it, but like to me on Thriller, like I listen to Off the Wall as a project. I listen to Off the Wall as an album and I listen to it, you know, just straight through. But like Thriller, if I'm listening to anything from it, I'm usually pulling like Baby Be Mine off it. Like Baby Be Mine is just everything to me.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the best
that's
one
the
on
one.
There. Hey, you talking right on all of them. Okay, this is where EB turns up. Now we have a part of the show where EB turns up, and this is the only one that he cares about. And I'm so praying. I feel like you're not gonna be talking right on this one. I already feel it now because I feel like EB's already tarnished a little bit of my hope that you're gonna answer this right. But I'm gonna go ahead anyway. Okay, here goes. Patty or Aretha?
Oh my God, yeah, that's super hard. But I mean, it's Aretha. She is, you know, a goddess.
See, I already knew it. That's why I didn't get my hopes up, because I already felt like it changed.
I mean, I love me some Patty, but Aretha is just, you know, and I had written this whole big thing about Diva Week that I, you know, christens that whole little week of, like, all the birthdays, Aretha and Celine and Mariah and all that.
Okay.
But, like, I put together a little playlist of, like, Diana and Aretha and everybody that had birthdays that week. And I had played everything for my mother, like, we were driving around doing, like, errands or something one day, like, shopping. And, like, even she was saying, because she's like, I love all these songs, I love all these people, you know, Mariah, Diana, Celine, whatever, Aretha. But when we were getting to, like, the Aretha songs that I put on the playlist, like, my mother was just turning it up, turn this up for EB. She was like, I'm sorry. She's like, I just get chills with this woman. Like, you just relive all these moments in her career and all these eras. And, you know, you think about her breaking down some opera, and then she's just, you know, killing it with, like,
oh,
daydreaming
God.
And just everything. Like,
you
say a little
like
prayer.
You look like kids.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
Man, okay. I feel like I could turn this around. Okay. I'm going to do it like this. Okay. Respect versus, I got a new attitude.
Respect.
Picking.
Yeah, I go with
respect.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What about what's the one you said?
Daydreaming.
What's the one that En Vogue covered? Something he can feel.
Giving him something he can feel.
Giving him something he can feel versus love and need you want you.
You know, that might be an interesting one to discuss, like the covers of all of that other artists did, like when you talk about like the replay value of certain songs, because, and that's a tough one, but I'd probably say like Loves You, Needs You, Wants You.
Yes, you want, okay, you just turned this whole thing around, so you pick Patty, evidently what you said, and that's what, all that matters. So technically you didn't win, because that's the most important one.
So you go with Patty and EB goes with Aretha?
Yes.
Every time.
Okay.
Yeah, he does every time. Okay, so that makes three. I forgot how I think I'm ahead. I think it's 4-2 because I think he had like two people that say Aretha. So you said you picked that song. So that's the only one I cared about. So you picked Patty. So nothing's wrong with you on that. You won by a technical default. It's a draw. But that's still a win for me.
We can. Yeah, we could go with that.
Like I said,
What did you think? So you're a big Patty person then. So love, need, and want you. How do you feel about Jaguar Wright's version of that?
Nah, it's Patty all the way because
okay. Them
ad-libs at the end. Listen, I can't shake them ad-libs because she killed it. She was singing like the rent was due, like she wanted her man. Like, like I need every fiber of you. I believed everything she was saying. That's such conviction. I can't shake it.
Nothing's
wrong with you on that. You Anthony, you talking right on that.
Okay.
The last one is Babyface or Brian McKnight.
Oh, Babyface.
You talking right, and guess what? The conclusion of this, of the what's wrong you gave, is there's nothing wrong with Miss TLC. Y'all give it up. Will, if you got a cut here, let's give it up for that. Ain't nothing wrong with her. She ate the whole thing. She kicked Patty. She took the Patty song. They still count as a win. A win is a win over here. I take every single win. I take every single one of these wins right here. I won. She won. But I won the Patty versus Aretha one this time around. I think I'm ahead.
I love
on
that.
I got to, but yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Talking to Prince, you gave so much knowledge. I know I'm going to miss some. I'm going to listen to this back when we release this on audio on the website. and get love all that. These gems. Y'all got all these gems for free. Miss TLC is dropping all these gems for free on here, y'all.
I love everything. To be amongst people that appreciate real music and that know real music, true music heads. You know, those type of conversations are always the best thing that life has to offer. So I appreciate all y'all knowledge.
It's so hard to fit all that in there, but like you said, you hit everything with his the blues, the reference, and all that stuff. Everything that he encompassed as a musician, he had every single one of it. And thank you so much for coming on and get on this lavish fine china conversation. I laid it out. I've been holding it back for like a year and a half since we've been doing this show. Ever since the disrespect, I had a paper plate conversation with Will. I never even dropped any gems on him because he wasn't even worthy.
Now you got to drink the champagne.
And appreciation to music royalty. So I felt he's just a participation in this greatness. And now hopefully he can appreciate and will say that in his savvy healing talk. And
now he can see what it's like to drink champagne out of Baccarat crystal glasses.
Yes, now he can imagine that. And maybe if he talk right, he can get in and dabble in on this
and
fine kind of conversation if he talk right. Yes. And so, what we do on this show, Ms. TLC, we do this thing at the end of the show called Savvy Healing Talk. And the thing is, it's just, if you want to say something, whatever's on your mind, it could be heathen or it could be savvy. Either way, if you want to combine both of those and add a little savvy heathen in there, it don't matter. So, whoever wants to go first, savvy heathen talk, whether it's Whitney or EB or Miss TLC, if you need some more time, we'll do that. Well, whoever wants to go first and do this savvy heathen talk so we can end the show, go ahead. Y'all getting quiet like y'all don't know.
Whitney, do you have any savvy heathen talk?
I don't have any savvy heathen talk, but I do just want to remind people, considering everything that like came out recently with Kate Spade, if you have like a loved one or something or a friend that's not acting like themselves, anybody that's doing anything unusual, giving away a lot of stuff, acting outside of themselves, reach out to them, check on your people, make sure they're okay, like, you never know what somebody is going through, and you never know how anything that you may say may help kind of pull them off the ledge. So just a reminder, like, take care of yourself and take care of those that are around you.
That's a good one, Whitney. Go ahead, AB.
Yeah, that's real good. I mean, I can't follow that up. I had some heathenish talk, but...
Yeah, I was even thinking about
it. Mine still ain't changed. That was beautiful, but I still got mine. Go ahead.
It's about balance. Say what you got to say.
It's a balance. It's about.
It's about balance, and now I feel bad. So you know what? I'm gonna say.
I thought I taught you better. EB, you're supposed to have
y'all
balance.
Y'all pray for Jay-Z. Y'all pray for him. He got a wife.
Pray for his hair. Is that what you said?
Pray for Jay-Z.
You pray he get a wave brush. Is that what you said? And get a comb and coconut oil to go through that. Do that hair. Is that what you said?
I pray he get away from his wife. That's all.
Oh! He loved when the Beyonce fans. Listen, we ain't about to. I thought you gonna make me go through about 57.
Oh, he trolled that. He trolled that.
Emails.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I knew it was something. I missed.
Oh yeah, you know the inbox is about to light up. They gonna be emailing like they do.
He loves getting these Beehive memories. Listen, I'm gonna send them all your way. I'm just gonna forward all of it to you because I ain't gonna do none of that.
Well, I will say this, you know, especially amongst, you know, company here, you always should, like, I honestly implore people to dive into, you know, the Legends catalogs and to really go back and to really appreciate music and to take things in, like, really listen to, you know, the music behind the songs, listen to the background vocals that, you know, EB's always praising and listen to, you know, the songwriting and understand really the passion behind this work that true artists put forth for you, you know, really the fruits of their labor. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, nowadays a lot of this, you know, throwaway disposable music that's, you know, played in the clubs and whatnot. Like, yeah, that stuff is good to get down to, might hear it in a strip club, whatever. But like I said before, even with Prince, he has these beautiful, deep, passionate tracks that also work in the strip club. So if you are going to dance anywhere, like, you don't need to pick something that's just, you know, played on the radio and is in, like, the Hot 100 right now. You could play, like, a classic Prince song and make up a little routine to that. So I really want to just give people that advice.
Yes, absolutely. Take it in and receive it. Hopefully, the main person that needs to
hopefully
receive it,
you'll get, you know, better tips.
Is Will.
Yeah, you can play like a classic song, put on some beautiful ones, put on some joy and repetition, and hopefully, you know, your tips will just pile up.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, Will needs, well, I know you just, I was just thinking of you too. I was like, I was going to let you do your savvy heathen talk. He said he got a heathen talk. So, I hope you, hopefully you saying that that you've been baptized in the love and the fellowship of this beautiful, music royalty experience of Prince, of us talking and giving this good fine china. Hopefully you got something good to say about that. What you gonna say?
Yes, well, what I have to say, I just really enjoyed Whitney and Miss TLC. Thank you so much for the knowledge, the education, you know, the savviness, you know, you guys are just wonderful. My heathen talk is, there's nowhere in hell I'm coming to a fine dinner and sit down at a kiddie table with a tuxedo on and eat beans and franks with a damn spork. It ain't going to happen.
Beans and franks. Listen, that's the lavish as you can get. I gave you a 40-ounce. You was getting fancy today. I gave you Keisha Cole's favorite drink.
And Kool-Aid.
Keisha Cole experience. That's one of her favorite drinks is a 40-ounce. That's the Keisha Cole drink. You're living lavishly over there at the kiddie table.
You know what?
Did you get anything from that? Did you enjoy this? Are you going to listen to more Prince now after hearing this conversation?
You know what?
This conversation.
I think that Miss TLC just enlightened me. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to hear that.
That's right.
See, now I feel better about doing my Prince karaoke because they keep asking me to do it. I feel it, some of it. I gotta feel how the spirit jumps on me. I'm gonna figure out what song is gonna come to my spirit. Hold on a second.
Okay.
This is the Soul Savage Radio Show. Thank you to our guest host that came on, Whitney, and, the fabulous, the extraordinaire Prince History extraordinaire Miss TLC. Y'all give it up again. And thank y'all for coming on so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Prince that came to my spirit is gonna be the new good in my heart every single day. Erotic City, I think it just came on me. I gotta do the instrumental first. All of my purple light, I've been looking for a free. Was you gonna be my vibe? That was my history. I can't think of nothing else. I was trying to transition to something else. Look, he's trying to play me off. You know you enjoy these. He's gonna play 17 days. That was another Miss TLC pick.
17 days.
Yes. You ain't gonna let me do my karaoke? Forget it then. I'll do it next week. I'm gonna do it in the Savvy Updates. I'm gonna do the whole Prince karaoke. Thank y'all for tuning in. Soul Savage Radio, y'all. Every Friday.
Soul Savage.
Standard time. 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. We'll be back, y'all, next Friday. The correct time, because some engineer wants to plan something and forget it to tell us, but that's a whole other story. We out, y'all.
Hey, we're out. Hey, thank you so much. Hey, what a fabulous, fabulous show. EB, Q-Lynn Green, Whitney, and our special guest, Miss TLC.
Thanks, Sergeant. We out, y'all.
to your friend. Cause you're the one who's always lonely. And I'm the one who's always alone.